Hello everyone, and welcome to Non-Sectarian Mindfulness and Meditation. I wasn't really sure what I was going to talk about this evening. I kind of had some ideas, and then I was sitting here just meditating, and then I recalled something that I read in the news today, which some of you may have heard or may not, about what happened in Las Vegas in the United States. Yeah, some of you are nodding your heads, but there was another massacre. Someone killed 58 people and wounded 500 at an open-air concert, shooting from the 32nd floor of a hotel. And it was funny because when I read it, it was like, oh yeah, you know, got a lot of things to do today. And just sort of go about business. And then when I was sitting here, I was kind of like, wow, thinking about how anesthetized I've sort of become to this sort of thing. And it brings me back to Sandy Hook, because actually my sister and her family live in Sandy Hook, Connecticut. And Sandy Hook's been sort of my second home whenever I go back to the States for about the last 15 years or so. And so when the massacre at the elementary school happened in Sandy Hook, that really struck close to home. Actually, my niece and my nephew went to that school, but they were older by then. So. And also my sister is quite active in her local church, and there was a number of people in her parish had lost their children to that. And I remember thinking back then, okay, this is it, right? This has to be some kind of breaking point, right? Where we sort of wake up and realize, you know, being an American, you know, it's just way too easy to get guns, right? But I mean, it's not just guns, right? It's not just guns that do these things. It's a real feeling of, real hatred. There's real hatred, there's real anger there to be able to do something like that to complete strangers. There's real rage there, you know, and it just made me think about how when we practice mindfulness, when we practice meditation, it's a great way to sort of just check in at sort of where we're at with our own sort of anger levels. Because these things don't happen just overnight. You're not just sort of a happy-go-lucky person one day and then a mass murderer the next. It's sort of these negative feelings sort of grind away for years and years and years and not get dealt with. I'm going to just sort of bracket out all the larger social issues here. We can sort of focus on the emotional level and maybe what we could possibly do to help make the world a better place. And I think being able to, when we practice meditation, to be able to confront our negative feelings and to identify them as they are, in a sort of dispassionate, non-judgmental way, kind of creates a sort of space where we can not necessarily be so reactive about the same feelings in the real world. I'll give you a very mundane example today. I shouted at my 5-year-old son, who he normally stays with his mom in Woodville and comes on alternating weekends, but this is his first week with our family, and he's quite loud. His volume, he has quite a lot high volume for a 5-year-old. And after about 24 times of asking him to lower his voice, I finally shouted at him, which is kind of ironic, right? I'm shouting at someone to keep their voice down. And he was visibly, you know, shaken by this, and it had the effect, but it's not really the way that I want to do things, and the way I want to model things. And it was, so for me, it was like, okay, I've sort of reached a point here, and now I'm letting my anger get the better of me, right? I'm acting out on that. So I gave myself a timeout and went and had a bit of a lie down. I still have a cold, which is originally what I was going to talk about, was how we can use our practice of mindfulness to help with physical illnesses, even as mundane as things like your common cold. But I think that the sort of the connecting thread here is that, I don't know what you're like, but when I get a cold, I sort of decide, okay, I'm allowed to have this cold for 5 days. And if it continues past the 5 days, I start to get quite frustrated and quite angry that I'm still sick. And it's actually that wanting things to be different and that sort of gap between the is and the ought there allows these negative feelings to build up, and then there's the outburst. And the mechanism, as sort of mundane and everyday as that is, the mechanism for this kind of extreme homicidal rage is the same, in the sense that gap between the is and the ought, between how you want things to be and how they are, can allow these negative feelings to build up and build up and build up until they finally explode. It's a very male thing to do. Another very male thing to do is to hold in that rage and turn it against yourself, which then can lead to depression and suicide. And so it would be really nice if we lived in a less violent world. And as individuals, I'm sure it must feel like it does for me anyway, that I don't really feel like there's much I can do about it, right? I'm not by myself going to change the world. But I can work on the little corner of it that I inhabit, and I think we can too. And learning meditation gives us a sort of skill set where we develop what's been called intrapersonal intelligence. I love that term because it's like interpersonal, right? You learn how to socially get along, but intrapersonal, it's like you're gaining intelligence about yourself, about your own emotions. You're gaining insight is basically what you're gaining. Remember, I worked for a year in a locked psychiatric unit in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And I remember one of the nurses in charge, she was fond of saying, if only we could come up with an insight pill, right? So many people, if they only could sort of turn around and look at kind of what was going on inside them, how much better that would make people, right? Well, meditation is your insight pill. Which reminds me of before I walked out the door, I told my son, I said, okay, I'm going to do my meditation class. And he said, Dad, why are you going to do your medication class? And so my medication class this evening is to take your medicine, practice your mindfulness, gain your insight, and develop your intrapersonal intelligence. Because that, not only is that going to help you, that's going to help everybody else too, right? Because the more you're aware of what's going on with your own emotional state, and the less you are going to be pulled around by those emotions, and you'll be able to make space, make room, and be less reactive, and everyone around you will also appreciate that. And hopefully in that way we'll be able to make the world a little bit less violent, a little bit less angry, a little bit more peaceful, a little bit more gentle. Does anybody want to comment or have a question or anything on that?
Until the other day, I would have agreed with you that the unpleasantness, a lot of unpleasantness that we see around us, does come from men. You know, particularly violence, just physical violence. But I was listening to it was just a documentary on the radio, which I happened to hear when I was driving the car, and it was talking about something I only had a peripheral knowledge of, the way in which girls bully one another on the internet, in social media, even to the level of wishing particular individuals to commit suicide. Now, I'm not sort of, this isn't a gender specific argument, it's more my own personal belief that human beings can be absolutely bloody rotten, regardless of gender. The types of activities that each gender might indulge in obviously vary, probably for cultural reasons or maybe even for physiological reasons, but the level of unpleasantness is there regardless. Just as they were, well, this particular program I was listening to was, there were two quite young girls who were devising an app for other girls to use if they were being bullied. So you just wanted to wave the flag for those kids. But when they described some of the things that were happening to their peers, it was truly sickening. Truly, truly sickening. Not quite as devastating as firing an automatic weapon into a crowd, but the level of, what kind of is the word evil, was no different. No different.
Yeah, and I fully agree there that the male of the species does not have a corner on that kind of, but you're right, I agree in the sense of maybe the you know, cases of extreme violence, but this kind of psychological sort of torture. Yeah, and it's, and nowadays too, with the internet, we've sort of created a whole new platform with which to play out this sort of, these kind of,
And what you're saying is right. I mean, at the end of the day, all we can do is, you know, light a candle rather than curse the darkness, regardless of whether it's men, women, boys or girls, or whoever else.
And I think, having children myself, and boys and girls, hopefully too, I'm imparting to them some emotional resilience to be able to, you know, cope with these kind of things, because it's quite frightening to think of having your child end up in a climate that is so, potentially life-threatening, really, with the kind of bullying and things like that. So, yeah, good point. Thanks for sharing that.
I think Freud has already been through this subject of males do it with their hands, females do it with their tongues.
Yeah, I mean, we could probably debate the whole gender thing for a long time, but I think I'd just like to, yeah, let's sort of reiterate the fact that no one, yeah, I don't think either gender has exclusive claims to good or bad, but I think probably the way that we go about it is probably somewhat different. So.
That's the point I was making, not better or worse or not, but just that it's out there. Just as much as obviously those two girls, I mean, you just had to sit there and make, you know, cheer for what they were doing. And similarly, there are plenty of men out there who don't want to violence guarantee violence. I mean, it's just how you align yourself and what you stand for yourself.
Yeah, and I've found just in my own experience, wherever I went in the world, regardless of somebody's, you know, race, religion, or ethnicity, there's good people and there's bad people, and the people that will help you with genuine kindness, and then there are people that will try to do you do you wrong, and so we have our angels, we have those angels and demons, I think. So, something to reflect on, right? Okay, so let's do some sitting. I'll guide us in. And how are we doing our time? Yeah, we'll have enough time to do our 30 minutes. So just take a minute to get comfortable in your seat.